Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another player interview that we have here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I'm Stephen Gillespie of the Draft Sicko Show, and we have a returning guest today. Jalen Wells out of Washington State, 6'8 forward. Just recently came on about a month or so ago with Maxwell, but wanted to get you back on again, Jalen, just to kind of see how things have been going for you, man. How's everything going right now?
Yeah, everything's been great. Been getting workouts in. Going through this draft process, a lot of conditioning, it's been fun. Just being able to solely focus on basketball. I'm doing school online, so it's been cool just to be able to like wake up and play basketball, and then wake up again and you're just playing basketball.
I can kind of relate. I'm obviously not on the same scale as you, but right now, being in the military, I'm on leave right now, and I've been able to like wake up and go to the gym whenever I want and like shoot around and stuff like that. So that's been fun for me. But obviously, your schedule is going to be a little bit more tight trying to prepare for the NBA. But before we get into all of that, man, I just wanted to recap on a couple of major collegiate milestones that you went through since you were on last with Maxwell. So since we last had you on, you were in the Pac-12 conference tournament, and then you went to March Madness. And I just want to kind of recap real quick, step by step, what it was like being in the conference tournament for you, man, because I know that transferring up, playing for Washington State, you went up against a couple really good teams in Stanford and Colorado, and you had some good outings, man, and I'm probably helping your draft stock, I'm assuming. But, I mean, when you were in the Pac-12 tournament, shot about 41% from the field, 47% from deep, scoring 12.5 points per game, 6.5 rebounds per game, almost 5 assists per game, and 2 steals. I mean, you're ramping it up as the season is going along. What was it like going through that that conference tournament for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really cool experience just being in Vegas, and then there's like 3 other conference tournaments at the same time. So you're walking through the hotel, you see all the fans, you see all the different teams. So like, it's kind of like because the hotel is across from the street from the arena, so it's kind of just like a whole like it's like a college campus of all the mm-hmm. of all the teams and all the fans. So it's really cool just seeing that. Like you walk out your hotel, you got the band playing for you. Obviously, I never experienced something like it, so that was really cool to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're going up against some people who might be, getting their names called on draft night as well. I mean, going up against Tristan Da Silva, going up against KJ Simpson, a couple other really good players in there too, Spencer Jones, Brandon Angel. What's it like? Was it another like level of competition, or did you just treat it like as business as usual?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's all the same to me. Obviously, those guys are some people that, when you have that matchup, it's kind of like a opportunity to prove yourself. So when you have the opportunity, you want to seize it. But I mean, it's all really the same to me. It's all competition. Even we go to the scout, we don't put any player on a pedestal. So really, I mean, you're just going out there to win. And once there's no big names once you're in the game, we're all just going for the same goal.
No, absolutely. I mean, and again, you're a pretty big name in the draft community yourself, man. But then, I went back and listened to the podcast that you did with Maxwell, and it was phenomenal work on your end. And one thing that I want to talk to you like as a person right now, right? Not as just like a prospect, because I can only imagine, being a big basketball fan like you were growing up, and then all of a sudden you're in the March Madness tournament. Like, was there any part of you that was just like that childlike version of yourself, like experiencing being in that tournament? What was that process like?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that was like just going on like, because I used to fill out my own bracket. So going in there, that my team is on there, my name is up there, like it's kind of just crazy to think about. And then just get in there, you get all seeing the March Madness logo, seeing all that stuff, just like it's kind of just like, I mean, it's obviously every basketball kid's dream just to be in March Madness, and then being able to win a game in March Madness is probably one of the greatest feelings.
Yeah, I mean, did you fill out a bracket and you had Washington State going all the way through? Did you do one?
Definitely.
Who'd you have your team playing against?
I want to say it was Purdue.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular pick. But yeah, Washington State. I mean, like you said, you made it past a round, and that had to have been a pretty monumental experience. And as good as your Pac-12 tournament was, man, like almost 19 points per game, 7 boards, 2 assists, shooting 50, 33, 80 from the field, man. I mean, it felt like, again, as the season's progressing, Jalen, your play just kind of ramped up. Was there any moment to where you just kind of felt like that the process of playing up to D1 level, you know, coming up from D2 to D1, once you got to that season, and did you feel comfortable in there, or was there like a gradual workup to where you felt like, okay, I kind of sort of am like one of the main players in D1 hoops right now?
Yeah, I think there was kind of just a point where I just, my confidence was kind of just through the roof. Because, I mean, just for me, a lot of confidence comes from just working out. And then I had that injury at the start. I wasn't really able to get as much work in as I wanted to. So, I mean, my confidence wasn't really that high. And then just being on it, and definitely just getting experience, just being in the game, getting experience. Yeah. I think I got like my first double-double. And that was kind of like a confidence boost for me. And then just throughout the year, I just be on the floor. And then, I mean, you're working with guys, D1 guys every single day. So, I mean, just being able to be in that atmosphere, see how everyone operates, it helps you, you know, mentally and physically.
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, referencing back to that podcast that you did with Maxwell, one of the things that you said that you wanted to get better at was growing as a leader, being more vocal on the court. And it looked like, based on, you know, kind of early March when you did this, you know, show with Maxwell, by season, then it looked like you were even sort of implementing that same, you know, objective that you gave yourself, like as the season progressed, you know, talking more to your teammates, you know, pointing around on defense, things like that. Were you able to, you know, throughout that process, kind of implement that objective? Do you feel like you made up some ground that you wanted to?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like I've always really been a talker on the court. It's more just like off the court, like maybe during like in practice, outside of drills and stuff like that. That's why I really wanted to be more vocal. But definitely just, I mean, and the defense we played was like very, you had to talk. Cause we play like a very weird zone that really switched every day. Like we didn't play the same defense, I don't think, at 2 games in a row. So we were switching up our zone every single day. So it was necessary to talk. And I kind of realized that, and being in the back line of the defense, you have to be that talker. So that kind of took that role, and making sure that that our very like complicated zone was working, because some players may not be on the same page. So you got to talk them through it, make sure you're doing your own job. So it really just required a lot of communication.
For sure. So season ends like after that last game, man. I think a lot of us basketball fans, like we're interested in players, not just as players, but as people too, right? And, you know, it's just like whenever I'm done with my work day, I get the clock out and I go home and I hang out with the family. But you're still striving, right? You still have more goals throughout, you know, this draft cycle, as we like to call it. What was it like for you, man? Like at last game of the season's over, you know, their exit interviews, or their, you know, you still doing team activities? You know, what's this process like for you now that the season's over?
Yeah, I mean, once the season was over, probably took like 2 or 3 days off, and then I had to get right back to it, because obviously you got to prepare for the draft and everything. And then obviously we didn't have the exact season ending. Sure. Like right when the season ended, coach left, staff followed, players left. 12-point players in the portal. So it was a crazy first week, first and second week out of the season. But I mean, it was kind of not really stressful for me, just because I was always focusing on going to the NBA regardless. So I mean, took that two to three days off, got right back to work.
Okay, so you know, just let's talk draft now, man. I mean, you got a lot of fans. You know, when I'm diving into the draft film and stuff like that, and I'm got my ear to the ground, I'm talking to all my people, man, like you got a lot of fans out there in the community. So I know that you're striving. Obviously your goal is to make the NBA at some point, right? So you put your name as an early entrant while maintaining your collegiate eligibility. what are you working towards? Like, what are your goals? Like, what are you pushing yourself to kind of show to NBA front offices that might be looking to potentially draft you?
I want to show them that kind of that I can fit into that 3-and-D role. Obviously, I feel like I'm a little more than that, but I feel like in the league, definitely my first couple of years, I might have to fit into that 3-and-D role. And then just show everyone that I feel like my athleticism is something that a lot of people don't see that I feel like I actually have. I just feel like I didn't really showcase it in the way I played this year. But I mean, it's there. And then one thing is just that, I mean, I feel like a lot of people talk about potential when drafting players. And I feel like I have very high potential. Like if you look at every year from my high school freshman year high school season to now, I've gotten better every, like if you look at the stats, if you look at the film, like you can see improvement each year. So I think that's kind of like the thing that I really value about myself is that I know I'm gonna get better going from year to year.
That's an interesting point that you just brought up, Jalen, and it's something that a lot of places talk about. Maxwell and I talk about this quite often, is that with freshmen, you get 1 year, right? And it's the season for college, you know, admittedly, isn't the longest sample size. So you kind of have to go back and you got to look at high school. International players have longer seasons, things like that, G League as well. I feel like for players that aren't freshmen, right, that have like this portfolio of progression that they just constantly show, I almost feel like that's a negative in a lot of ways for NBA front offices. And that's kind of like backwards thinking for me, because I think that if you could show someone like yourself who worked way up in high school, late growth spurt guy, go to D2, transfer your way up, have a successful D1 stint in 1 year, I'm seeing like these breadcrumbs and this upward trajectory in a player that even though you're not a freshman, you still got a lot of basketball ahead of you. And that would give me comfort that if I'm going to invest in a player to help my organization, that I could pick a player that has this upward trajectory, right? Like this constant progression that no matter what level of competition that they go up against, that they can rise to the occasion. Do you feel like there is kind of like this backwards view on players such as yourself who aren't, you know, the freshman prospect with a lot of film left on the table?
I feel like people definitely see it both ways. I mean, it could be a positive. It could also be a negative. I mean, obviously, personally, since I've been through it, I think it's a positive.
Yeah. I mean, I think your film speaks for itself. And there's other players that kind of do the same thing. So we're talking about the NBA, getting yourself ready for that. You also recently entered the transfer portal. And for one, I think that it's smart just to kind of keep all options on the table. But obviously for Washington State, you just mentioned the coaching change, staff change, a lot of players in the portal right now. Do you feel like what is it like trying to concentrate on moving ahead while also keeping, you know, all options available to you? You know, are you getting contacted a lot? Are you trying to like have teams meet you while you're also trying to prepare yourself for the NBA? What's it like being early entrant prospect while also being in the transfer portal?
For me, it's easy. I haven't talked to a single college. I'm not talking to anyone. Nothing. So I don't want anything that's going to take my focus away from the NBA. So personally, it's not really a big deal for me. If a school calls me, they're going to, or text me, you know, I'm sending it to my agent. So okay. I haven't reached out, talked to a single school. So.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Jalen, draft mindset right now. We're trying to get ready. We're trying to get drafted. Let's say, you know, you're getting in these, you're getting out in front of these, you know, organizations. You're kind of displaying that athleticism that you feel like that you didn't really get a chance to show a lot at Washington State. There's more to your game that you're wanting to show them. If they want to invest in you, Jalen, like, what do you think? What would you tell a team that's like potentially trying to select you come draft night? What are they getting if they draft Jalen Wills?
I mean, just a high character, high energy guy. I feel like I'm the guy that always makes the right play. Not really too of a selfish guy. I mean, you can see that. I feel like I'm pretty good, like playmaker, even though if I'm not like ball dominant, just coming off pick and rolls, like I'm not afraid to swing it to the open guy. And then obviously my 3-point shot is probably the most prominent thing. And then, I mean, my length, 6'8", can handle the ball. So I think my versatility in general, I feel like I can play the 2-4. Definitely need to get stronger, and that's something I'm working on, getting stronger, getting bigger, just so I can guard all those positions, because I think I can do it. 1-4, and I mean, they throw me on the 5. I'll take the challenge.
There you go. I mean, it looks like right now the playoffs are going on. The New York Knicks, they're kind of going through it with Mitchell Robinson being hurt, and, you know, Precious Achiuwa's getting in there. I think they're giving OG some start minutes at the 5, so go to the Knicks, there's a high probability that you end up playing some 5 for them, man. But yeah. Jalen, man, I appreciate your time. I know that I've seen on social media that you are getting out there and putting in the work. You are showing some of that athleticism. I think I've seen, you know, several dunks of yours that I was just like, oh, man, like, that's pretty nice, man. I didn't know Jalen had it like that, man. So, it's good to see.
Got a lot of comments saying, oh, I didn't know you can jump like that.
Okay. Yeah. So that's obviously something that you're wanting to show. Is there any other skill that you feel like you want to display on, like maybe even one that you don't have like your hops right now, but like what's one thing that you're wanting to like improve upon?
Definitely my finishing around the basket. I say that like a lot of people say it's like my negative, but you look at my freshman year in college, my sophomore year in college, like that was like going to the basket, like that was bread and butter. I don't know, like I think this year, I don't know what happened this year. I don't know.
It was more of a role thing, trying to be more perimeter focused.
Yeah, I think a lot of us playing with two big. We play with two bigs all the time, so you know it's kind of clogged. You got all those bigs in there, which I mean, NBA is more five, a little more five out, so less people in the paint. So I think a little bit of that clog in the paint, you know, it's probably tougher shots that I'm shooting around the rim. And at the start of the year, my mid-range shot was just like off for some reason. But I got that better throughout the end of the season. But yeah, definitely getting my field goal percentage around the rim. Cause I know that's a strength of mine. And, like you just look at the film other than this year, like you can see that.
All right. Well, hey, Jalen, I appreciate your time. I know that you got to get back in the gym. You got to throw some more highlight reel dunks down there. But just for anybody who's wanting to continue to follow you, man, where can they find you on social?
Jalen Wells with 2 S's on Instagram. Jalen _ Wells on Twitter. That's about it, I think.
All right, man. We'll be wishing the best of luck to you as you continue to prepare yourself for the NBA draft. Look forward to hopefully seeing your name get called that night, man. But we'll be in touch. And for anybody who's watching, listening, thank you for your continued support. You can follow us on all socials at No Ceilings NBA. Go and check us out on our YouTube at No Ceilings NBA as well. NoCeilingsNBA.com for all of our written work. And until then, we'll catch up with y'all next time. Much love, y'all.